This is a notfic recorded by Litra for the Cover First Challenge for Voice Team 2020-2021. The cover art in question, it's blue background that looks like some kind of fabric, pair of hands splayed out, palms up, on that fabric, with what looks like leaves or flower petals cupped between them. This is going to be a grim fairy tale kind of story. There is a very short story in my collection of Grimm's fairy tales. Or I first heard it as being called A Story with a Riddle. In that story, a woman gets turned into a flower. But she was blessed to be able to go to her husband that night. And she spends the night with him and she tells him what's happened. And she tells him that she is waiting out in the field, and that in the morning he needs to go and pick the flower that she's become if he's ever going to see her again. And of course he does. And if you want to know how he figures it out, well, that's the riddle of the story, and you should go read it, because it's a super short story. But I want to tell the story of their night. See, the husband, he comes home from his work, and maybe he's a farmer, or maybe he's a tailor, or a blacksmith, or any other thing that would be period appropriate. But he comes home and he finds his wife missing. The clothes are still hung on the line. The fire that should have been had embers going all day to keep the teapot and the cooking pot going, the fire has died out. There is no wood, or the only wood there is what has been stacked since morning. No tea, no supper, no fresh well water. No, the house looks like it's been empty for hours. And the story doesn't say if they have children, but I'm going to say they don't. And at first, he's just confused. Where has his wife gone? Did she go to visit the neighbors? She didn't say. She didn't leave a note. He didn't see her as he walked home. But surely she's all right. There isn't any sign of a struggle. But as the hour grows later and later and later, and he cooks some food for himself, and he puts on the kettle, and he lights up the fire and stokes up the fire, and he stands in his doorway with the lamp lit, looking out into the night. Where is my wife? Where is my wife? Should I go looking? Should I stay here? I know she can handle herself, and it's not like there are so many dangers in our small home, in our small village, but where is my wife? And there's a knot tangled in his gut. Unreasonable worry. This has never happened before. But they have not been married for so long that maybe it has to be at midnight that she comes. And he has been sitting up. Maybe he's fallen asleep by the fire, chair pulled up close and blanket thrown over his lap. Maybe he has a cup of hot tea, trying to keep himself awake, but it's been a hard day at the end of a hard week. His job isn't easy, whatever it is. They do not live an easy life. but then a gust of wind rattles the shutters, whistles through the chimney. The fire guts, rustles, doesn't quite go out. There's a creaking outside, wind in the trees, and maybe they have a front gate, and if so, it rattles terribly. And that wakens him, but he's still groggy, he's still half asleep, he doesn't know why is he in the chair and not his bed, and where is his wife? Where is his wife? And there are footsteps outside, and the fear that has been growing all evening, that fear curdles in his gut, and he grabs his axe or his hoe. Not a gun, because it's too early for that, but some weapon that is close to hand, a fireplace poker. And he goes to the door, hoping to God and all the spirits that please let it just be his wife, come home at last, but what if it isn't? What if it isn't? By now, he's thought of every dark possibility that might happen. He's thought of all the ghouls and ghosts and wolves of the woods that might have stolen his wife away. And what if they're coming for him next? What if it's the alderman, the headman of the village, the sheriff, the woodsman, come to tell him that they've found her, that her body has been ravaged, that she's been left in the woods, in the creek, in a ditch. And someone found her, recognized her, and came to tell him. What if it's the witch? For there is always a witch in such stories. What if it's the witch? Then he opens the door. Or maybe she does. Or maybe the wind blows the door open between them. And there they are, him with the fireplace poker and her clutching her dress to her front. Flower petals woven in her hair. There's something otherworldly, something not quite right about her. It's his wife, but what if it's not? The fireplace poker in his hand, it lowers slightly, and his grip is shaky, making it jitter against the floor. And she's standing there, standing in the doorway, still clutching her dress about her, and there are tears in her eyes and flower petals in her hair, and everything is tangled, tangled all up. He calls her name. She says, "I'm so sorry." He drops the fireplace poker. He goes to her, but stops, just short of the door. She still hasn't crossed the threshold, and he knows enough of the old stories. If she can't come in, if she isn't what she appears to be, what if his true wife has been taken by some forest spirit who is now taking her shape? He says her name again. She's barefoot, her feet covered in mud and soil, grass stains up to her knees. She looks like she's about to faint, clutches the doorframe, nearly falls to her knees, and he calls out her name again, desperate. And that's when she takes a step forward, crosses the threshold, reaches out for him, and he takes her hand, and it's cold. It's so cold. Covered in wet dew, mist from the night that is now creeping into their home. He pulls her inside, pulls her against him, runs his fingers through her hair, trying to brush away the flower puddles, but they won't go. They won't dislodge. He goes to shut the door, but they're still in the doorway. They still... He asks what's wrong. He asks what happened. She whispers something. Something he can't quite hear, but something he hears enough of to be afraid. They're on their knees at this point, both so shaken they've fallen to the ground, and he grabs up the poker again, looking out into the night. He's wide awake now, but she is... Well, he might have caught a few hours of sleep, but she hasn't. "Come inside," he says. "Come inside and I'll shut the door and we will be safe here together. Whatever has happened, it is over, it is done. I will protect you. We will be safe here together." But she shakes her head. She looks out into the night and she is afraid. He pulls her into the house. Pulls her inside, closer, puts her in front of the fire, in the fire, in the chair that he was sleeping in earlier. He goes and shuts the door, but it takes effort. The wind is howling outside now. And while it isn't raining, it feels so cold. The mist has gotten all in the house. The fire, it's not dead yet, but it's low, embers red and crackling. His wife is huddled in the chair. She's pulled the blanket up around herself, shivering. She keeps her eyes on him, keeps her eyes on the door until finally he has it shut, locked, bolted. "There now, we're safe. You're home." He draws all the curtains. He had left them open before because he wanted the light to spill out into the night to guide her home. But now she is home. Now they're both home, and they will stay there, and nothing else will get in. So he draws the curtains and stokes up the fire and puts another log on. Knocks it about until there's a lively blaze, and he swings the old iron kettle over the flames, mixing up tea in two mugs. She takes her mug of tea, cups it between her hands, still huddled in the blanket. The flower petals fall from her hair, mix in the water. He kneels by her feet, pushes the blanket up just far enough to reach them, gets an old basin, and tries to wash the mud off her feet. "Where are your shoes?" he asked. She wouldn't have left the house without them. And now that he thinks they are safe, well... A little bit of the ridiculousness of the situation has come back. He almost wants to laugh. At himself, mostly, for being so afraid. Afraid of shadows in the night. No need to think of witches. No need to think of sprites or ghouls. It's just a windy night, that's all. Just a windy night, and his wife has lost her shoes, and so he must wash her feet. The witch took them. That makes him stop. He looks at her feet. Then slowly looks up at her face. "What?" "The witch took them when she planted me on the hill." His wife shakes her head, flower petals falling all around her. No matter how many fall, there always seem to be more. They are floating in her teacup, gathered in her lap, dusting his shoulders where he kneels at her feet. That can't be right, he says, but he knows she is telling the truth. He knows his wife. This is his wife, and she is telling him the truth, and the mud will not come off her feet, and the flower petals keep falling from her hair. And he gives up, and he leans up, and he kisses her, and he says, that can't be right, begging her to say otherwise. It is then that her tears fall, mixing with the tea and the flower petals, soaking into the blanket on her lap. I'm sorry, she says. I did not know. I do not know. She is angry, the witch. She spoke a curse on me, turned me into a flower on the hillside. If not for the old blessings, the blessings that they'd earned, he and her, through hard work and kindness and faith. If not for the blessings, then even now she would be planted on the hillside. But no, she had earned enough for this night, though the witch knows it. The witch even now calls her back, in struggling, choppy sentences. His wife tells him what had happened. How maybe an old woman had come to her garden, seen her happy and lovely, hanging up the laundry. Maybe she'd been going to the market and had stopped to pick a flower. And maybe that flower had already been claimed by the witch. And so she had been doomed to take its place. Maybe she had been out on the hill collecting strawberries. Maybe she had stopped to rest. And maybe the witch had found her there sleeping. Cursed her for no other reason than that she was in her path. The reasons matter not. No matter the reason, husband and wife are there by the fire, with the wind howling down the chimney and the trees creaking outside. You must come for me in the morning. The wife pleads. You must come. You must find my flower. You must pick it. If I remain a flower too long, I will lose myself. I am losing myself even now. And he knows it is the truth. And so he promises. He does not know how difficult it will be. He does not know what challenges he will face simply walking across the village up to the hillside. He knows that hillside. He knows how many flowers are planted there. He wonders how many of them used to be women. He takes her in his arms, begs her to stay, because maybe if she stays, maybe if she does not go back to the hillside, magic is always stronger in the dark. Maybe with the dawn, if she can just stay with him, she will be saved. Maybe, maybe, maybe. But maybe not. If you can find my flower, if you can pick it, I know I will be saved. Maybe is not enough. If is not enough, he says. But he agrees. And so he takes his wife and wraps her in their blue blanket, tucks her up with him in bed, begs her to stay as long as she can. Even now her eyes drift to the doorway. It's so hard to stay. But stay, but stay. Stay in our home, stay where it's warm. stay with me. I want to, my love. I want to, my husband. I will stay as long as I can. And maybe some bards would tell of their tragic love, each reaching for the other, desperate to touch, for it may be the last time, each not wanting to say how afraid they are. And some other bards would say they reach for each other to comfort, giving what they do not have. Still others would say that they sat there by the fire, eyes tracing to the door, curled in each other's arms, too weary and strained to do more. As I am the one telling this story, I will tell it thus. The man slowly and eventually fell asleep. And so it was that he missed his wife slipping out of the blanket. He missed her crossing the room, unbolting the door, slipping out into the night. For magic cannot be denied. But, sleeping on the cold hard floor, with the wind coming down the chimney enough to rattle the coals and douse the fire before morning. Uncomfortable as he was, and already used to waking with the dawn, by the time the cock crowed, the man was awake. On another day, and in other circumstances, he might have thought it a dream. But waking on the hearth, wrapped in their blue blanket and covered in flower petals? No, no, it was no dream. And so he rushed to put on his boots, flung open the door. Just as dawn's light was starting to crest the horizon, before the sun had properly risen, just touching the distant mountains. And he ran for the hillside.